Our text is taken from the fourth chapter of the book of the Acts, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is God's word. Dear fellow redeemed, are you familiar with the phrase, the one and only? It's usually referred to actors or entertainers, people who have some sort of celebrity, people who may have gifts or talents that are judged to be unparalleled or whose achievements have been judged to be more successful than anyone else's. Sometimes people who have no rivals are considered to be the one and only. And we must admit that among us there are some mountain climbers, there are some rock stars, there are some whose achievements really are greater than the rest of us and whose fortunes amassed are much greater than the rest of us. In fact, they seem not to be like the rest of us. Compared to them, the rest of us seem to be standing on the sidelines with our hands in our pockets. Of course, it is true that each of us as individuals are one and only. We are unique. Even identical twins are unique. And so we could say that we're each special in our own way. Just visit the airport in Amsterdam for 15 minutes and you'll be astounded by the extraordinary diversity in humankind. And yet, in spite of all the singularity that exists among us as a human race, there is a certain sickening similarity among all of us. It's our sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says there is none righteous. The old King James said there is none that seeketh after God. And that truth about the human race, that it is sinful, applies to each one of us as individuals also. We're the men and the women who have sinned and fall short. We're the ones who each possess a fallen, sinful human nature and each express that fallen, sinful human nature in the dirty thoughts that flicker through our minds, in the harsh words that dribble out of our mouths, and the unkind acts of our careless, calloused, grasping, greedy hands. There's something wrong with us. It's our sin. And we know it. And God knows it. Or have you forgotten that God's been reading your diary? There is a consequence to sin. It's death. Paul said the wages of sin is death. That's what we all deserve. What a dreadful thought that is. In the Old Testament, the suffering Job identified the universality of death, the consequence of sin. He said the small and the great are there, the slave freed from his master. An Italian proverb said the same thing in a different way. When the chess game is over, the pawn and the king go back into the same box. So is there a way out of that box? St. Peter knew there was a one and only way out. And he identified it in the text today. He said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Salvation, no other name, no other way. Of course, he's referring to Jesus Christ. Who else would you look to be your representative before God? Of who else could it be said that he was tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin? Of who else could Paul have been speaking when he said, "By the obedience of that one man, Jesus Christ, the many are made righteous"? That's us. What other prize could Paul have been boasting about when he said, "Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but the righteousness which comes by faith in Christ, the righteousness from God which is received by faith"? Aren't we thankful that Jesus Christ has been a sinless, perfect representative for us before God? And aren't we thankful that he was a substitute for us? That God considered him guilty of everything that's wrong with us. Isaiah said the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Peter said he himself bore our sin in his own body at the tree. And at the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he was saying that everything was paid for and everything was forgiven because of what he had done as our substitute. And now the world can find in Jesus Christ salvation. Paul says he was delivered for our offenses. That's Good Friday. And he was raised again for our justification. That's Easter morning. In Christ's triumph over death, God was making a public declaration to all of human history that he was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And now in Christ, you have found salvation for your soul. Because the Holy Spirit has penetrated your heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your baptism, God offered to you all the blessings that Christ won for the whole world with his doing and his dying. Those are the blessings of forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. In your baptism, God offered all those blessings to you. And at the same moment, through the power of the gospel, he created in your heart Christian faith so that you receive all those blessings and possess them all now personally. It's as though you've stored them away in your soul's pocket and you've got them now for peace and comfort and joy as you live your life and as you live in the next life also. When we consider ourselves from the perspective of sin, then we must admit that we all arrived on the showroom floor with a factory defect, our sin. But when we consider God's solution to the problem of sin, aren't we grateful that Jesus Christ was perfect for all the rest of us and that he was punished for all the rest of us? And that his resurrection is a proof to all the rest of us that all is well now between ourselves and our holy God. You believe that, don't you? Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, the one and only. Amen. Heavenly Father, as the gospel of Jesus Christ was at the heart of the Lutheran Reformation, may it always be at the center of our own personal faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.